Take your Bible and go to Psalm chapter 23. This psalm is arguably one of the most familiar psalms in the Bible, and perhaps it's one of the most familiar chapters in our Bibles. And rightly so, throughout the centuries, God's people have looked at this psalm as a source of comfort, help, encouragement throughout the centuries. It's because this psalm speaks to the needs that are common to all people of every age. And as we look at this psalm this morning, it can meet a need. It can change us. And that's what our hearts cry out for. That's what we desire as we come before the word each and every time. That the truths that we've heard this morning, not only through the songs, but the truths that we're going to see this morning in Psalm 23, that it would change us to be more like Christ. Let's bow before the Lord and ask for his help as we look at his word this morning. Father, we thank you for the way that you have glorified yourself in this service so far. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to worship you in this way. And Father, as we come before your word this morning, I pray that you would quiet our hearts, that you would help us to listen to your spirit as you convict, and that we would be willing to change those areas that you show us this morning as a result of looking at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In the summer of 2012, I moved my family from Lafayette, Indiana, down here to Greenville, South Carolina. And before I had moved down, the months leading up to that move, I had been in search for a job. I'd been looking on different job websites and talking to different people that I knew down here, and I discovered a job that sounded like it would work for my family, and the phone interview that I had and the emails that went back and forth sounded like this was going to be a job that would work for us. So we moved down here in June, and I went to a face-to-face interview with the company that I was looking to work for. That interview went extremely well. I came home and told Kate that as far as I could tell, and as far as they had said, that the job was going to be ours, and we were going to have a way for us to meet the needs that our family would have. Well, about a week later, I received an email from the company informing me that they had given the job to somebody else. I read that email, and my heart sank. You can imagine the thoughts of worry that just started to flood my mind. How was I going to meet the needs of my family? How was I going to find a job in this new city? Why were life circumstances working out the way that they were? And I was discovering that life does not always go in the way we plan. We like it to go in straight lines. We like it to make sense, but that's not always the way that God ordains. And our natural response to those situations where life does not go the way we plan, when life takes a turn that we don't expect, our natural tendency is to worry. We worry about many things. The future, finances, relationships, decisions that are going to affect the course of our life, and many other things. Today, we're going to see that God's word provides the solution to that condition of worry. We're going to see that the Lord lovingly cares and provides for his own. And because he does that, our response to that God should be trust in him in every circumstance. Psalm 23 in verse 1, David is using a comparison here to help communicate a truth about God. And in verse number 1, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, in our day and age, shepherd and shepherding is not a very common thing. We don't see shepherds around. We don't experience that type of culture. But for David, this was a very familiar imagery that he was setting up, because David himself was a shepherd. And David here is using this idea of a shepherd and comparing it to something that the Lord is to him. David understood that the responsibilities of the shepherd for the sheep, to care, to provide, to protect. And David says that there is someone who is his shepherd, and it is the Lord. You'll notice in your Bibles there that that word Lord there is in all capitals. We realize as we read that is an indication that David is talking about and using the covenant name of God. That David is referring to God in his covenant name, God who is the creator of all, God who is self-sufficient, the God and the Lord who is timeless and who never changes. This God, though, that David is referring to has a relationship with David. Because here he says, the Lord is my shepherd. There's a relationship that's going on here. David just doesn't simply say the Lord is a shepherd, but he makes it personal. The Lord is my shepherd. And I'm sure as David contemplated this thought, as he wrote this psalm, the thought probably staggered him as it should ours. It should stagger our thoughts as we think about this covenant-keeping God who's the creator of all, the God who made all, the God who needs nothing, the God who has always been and always will be, seeks a relationship with us, seeks to be our God, seeks to be our shepherd, one who will provide and care for us. And in David's mind, this care that the shepherd has for him is not in question. Because he has this statement of confidence at the beginning where he says, the Lord is my shepherd. There's no doubt in David's mind about this relationship that he has with the Lord. There's a confidence there that David has. Well, what does this shepherd do? David simply says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Another statement of surety and confidence. I shall not want. As David looked back over at his past life, as he looked at his present life, he realized one thing, that he did not lack anything. The reason he didn't lack anything was not because of anything that he had done, but it was simply because it was the Lord, as his shepherd, was providing for and meeting for all of the needs that David had in his life. And David is resting in this confident fact that the Lord is his shepherd. And David here is discovering as he goes through this psalm that the Lord provides and meets all of his desires and all of his longings. This is what he describes in verse number 2 when he says this, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He doesn't lack anything because the Lord is providing for him. The Lord here, or David here, says that he makes him to lie down in green pastures. This idea of a shepherd is not uncommon in our scriptures. We see it throughout the Bible. In Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 2, the Lord refers to the prophets of God as shepherds. And he's condemning them because they were not meeting their responsibility of providing for the spiritual needs of his people. In John chapter 21, Jesus is speaking to Peter. You remember this as they're sitting on the shore there by the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Peter acknowledges that he does. And then Jesus gives him a command. And that command is to feed my sheep. And then Peter takes that same illustration in his letter that he writes, and he exhorts the elders at the church to feed the flock of God. How is that supposed to happen? Through the preaching of the word. You see, the Lord desires to meet our needs through his word. The reason that David doesn't lack anything is because his word provides for him. The Lord's word meets the needs and longings that he has in his heart and in his life. These green pastures that God has for us and that David is using as an example of what a shepherd does, the shepherd takes that responsibility to continually feed the sheep. to take it where the grass is, to find those areas, maybe in a dry and arid land, to find those areas where there is that food. And that's what God desires to do in our hearts. He desires to take his word and use it in our lives to meet the longings that we have. Because the reality is that as fallen creatures, we look to have our longings met and our needs fulfilled in so many different areas. Whether it's relationships, or whether it's entertainment, or whether it's in work. But we need to realize that just as David looked to the Lord to meet his needs through his word, and to meet his longings through his word, so we also need to look to his word to meet the needs that are in our hearts and in our lives. We think about this, David did not have the complete word of God to go to for himself. He had part of it was written at that time, but the wealth that God has bestowed upon us in this age is amazing. We have the complete revealed word of God. We have everything that God wants us to know about himself and about how he wants us to live. And as we day by day spend time in that word and feed on his word, we can see that God is going to use his word in our lives to meet the longings and the desires that we have that cannot be met anywhere else. The Lord fulfills our longings through his word. And then David goes on at the end of verse number 2 with another comparison. And he says this, he leads me beside still waters. The shepherd's responsibility continues by leading his sheep, his flock, to a place of water. Now this place of water was not just meant as a place of satisfying the physical thirst, but often the shepherd would go to this place, go to a place of water as a way to not only give the sheep something to drink, but also to refresh the sheep. As the sheep would go through the lands and get briars and mud and dirt and dust, it would just get caked on the sheep's wool, and the shepherd could go there and could wash that dirt and that dust that got caked on that, on the wool, and refresh the sheep that way. So David here says that the Lord as a shepherd leads him beside these still waters, these waters of rest for a purpose. And that purpose is stated in the beginning of verse number 3 where David says he does this for a reason. He does it to restore my soul. This idea of restore here is the idea of restoring something back to its original place. Like when Jesus healed the man with the withered hand and his hand was restored. It was brought back to its original condition. And David here says, as the Lord is my shepherd, leads me beside these still waters, he restores my discouraged spirit. He helps me to see that he through himself can renew my heart. You can think of David's life as he went through it, the difficulties that he faced as Saul sought to seek his life, the internal problems that internal family problems that he had with his sons, discouragement. And David says, the Lord restores my soul. He restores it back to a right relationship with himself. The Lord does this for me. And the Lord can do that for us also. He can renew our discouraged spirits. We come to his word, we find our longings satisfied, and we find our longings met. The Lord also uses his word to restore our soul. The discouragement that can come from failure. We seek to serve the Lord. We seek to honor and please the Lord with our lives. And yet as we go through our day, we find ourselves failing. Failing in our attitude to what God has called us to do. Failing at our interaction with others. Failing in our love for the Lord. And we can become discouraged. But God desires to renew ourselves, to renew our spirits. As we come to him, He can cleanse us of that. Not only sin, though, but also just the daily stress of life can discourage us. The circumstances that come up, difficulties that we have at work, the struggles that we have with relationships within our family or the financial needs that we have, all of these things can cause us to be discouraged, but yet God as our shepherd can restore our soul back to a right relationship with him. And these things should cause us to look to him in times of worry and in times of distress. He's our loving shepherd who's caring for us, who can help us in that way. In end of verse number three, he says this, David says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Continuing with this shepherd metaphor here, we see that David is talking about the shepherd, talking about the Lord. The Lord is leading him in paths of righteousness. This is not just paths of righteousness in regards to right and wrong, but this is also a dual meaning of paths that are right. David says, as I go through life, as I'm walking and living this life that God has called me to, he is the one that is leading me. He is the one that is guiding me and showing me where I ought to go. And as I follow the shepherd and as I follow my Lord, he is going to lead me in paths that are right. His paths for my life. His paths that are going to be pleasing to him. God has sovereign control over David's life to direct him wherever he needs to go. But why does the shepherd do this? Why does the shepherd commit to guiding David in paths of righteousness? End of verse 3, he simply says this, he does it for his name's sake. He does it for his reputation. He does it for his honor and for his glory. God does it so that as we go through our lives and as we follow him along these right paths that he is leading us to, paths that are right according to God's path and paths that are right in accordance with his word, the purpose of those paths that he leads us on is to point people to himself so that God would be glorified. Maybe your mind is going to Jesus' words in John chapter 6, where he talks about himself being the shepherd. And he says that, I have not lost any of them. That's the commitment that God has made. He has done it for his sake to lead us in these paths. These paths, though, aren't always pleasant paths, humanly speaking. David communicates that in verse number 4 when he says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David here says, the Lord leads me in paths of righteousness, paths that are right according to his plan, and paths that are right according to his word. Those paths sometimes lead what David here says, calls the valley of the shadow of death. This word, this phrase here, the valley of the shadow of death, is not speaking only of the experience of death, but it's indicating the valley of darkness. The valley that comes as we go through life and life gets difficult and hard. And it almost seems like God isn't there anymore. The light has gone. And as David thinks about his life as a shepherd, he would lead his sheep to where they needed to go. And sometimes David would have to lead those sheep through these valleys in the hill country of Judea. Valleys that were narrow. And because they were narrow, the sun could not shine directly down into them. And in those dark valleys, there would be caves where wild animals and other prey might be to attack the sheep. But David here says, even though God is leading me through these types of circumstances, dark circumstances, difficult circumstances, he says this, though I walk through these types of circumstances, I will fear no evil. Why? When you think about the circumstances that sometimes come into our lives, the world around us looks at those and pities us because of those circumstances, whatever they might be. Financial circumstances that are difficult, health difficulties, relational difficulties. And those circumstances, as people from the outside look at us, people without Christ, as they look at us, they would look at us and say that would cause fear in my heart. But David says, I don't fear any evil. I don't fear in these valleys of darkness. Why? For one reason. The Lord is with me. Now notice here, in this verse number 4, he switches the pronoun. Verses 1, 2, and 3, he's talking about the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. But then in verse number 4, he says, I will fear no evil because you are with me. It's like David pauses here and he's giving this praise to the Lord as his shepherd, and he stops and he realizes this is a personal relationship that he has. And he says, God, you are with me in all of these situations and circumstances. And David definitely in his life had hard circumstances that would cause fear and darkness. And yet the Lord was with him at all of those times. This idea of the Lord's presence being near, again, is just scattered throughout our Bibles. God specifically told Jacob, I will be with you. God specifically told Moses when he told them to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, the Lord said, I will be with you. And then do you remember when the angel came to Mary and told Mary that she was going to have the Messiah, and the Messiah's name was going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's standing on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and he's about to ascend up into heaven after his work on earth is completed, after his death, burial, and his resurrection. The last words that he gives to his disciples, he says this, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That promise is for us also. David wasn't somebody special or unique. God's presence goes with us, and because his presence goes with us, he can comfort us. And we can find security in his presence as we go through these difficult circumstances. The end of verse number 4, he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Not only does David not fear because there's security in his presence, but David doesn't fear because there's comfort in the protection that God brings to him. The rod and the staff here that David alludes to, with in the shepherd allusion, those were both implements of protection for the sheep. Out in the wild mountainsides, there would be enemies, lions, bears, other prey that would come to attack the sheep. And the shepherd had that rod and that staff, both of which had many purposes, but one of the purposes that the shepherd would use those two implements for would be for protection. And so when those enemies would come, the shepherd would be able to drive away those enemies from the sheep. The rod and the staff were a way that would protect those sheep. And David says, those things comfort me. David, in his life, had a lot of enemies, had a lot of difficulties as far as people seeking to kill him and hurt him. David knew, though, that nothing could happen to him unless the Lord allowed it. Because David is a constant, or the Lord as a constant shepherd to David, would protect him in all circumstances. And that brought comfort to David. When Scott was 5 years old, I decided that I wanted him to learn how to ride his bike without training wheels. And that's always an interesting time for a parent. The child loves riding his bike with the training wheels, and here you come along and you say, okay, it's time to take the training wheels off. So I went out to the shed, brought it out to the road where Scott was. I had taken the training wheels off, and as most children, I told him what I wanted him to do, get on the bike without training wheels. A look of terror just came over his face, and at first he simply refused to get on that bike. He wasn't about to do that. So I tried to explain to him how we were going to do this, and I explained to him that he was going to get on the bike and that I was going to be with him the entire time, that as he went down the road, I was going to be right by his side. And not only was I going to be right by his side, but I explained to him that as we went down the road, I was going to be holding on to his bike, protecting him from falling over. So after a number of minutes of convincement, he finally got onto that bike and started down the road with me holding on and protecting him. Now, just as Scott was able to find security in my presence because he knew that I was going to help him and that I was going to be with him and near him, the Lord desires the same trust from us. And as you think about the circumstances that are in your life, God is calling out to you for you to trust him, because his presence can bring security and his protection can bring comfort. And as many people as there are in this room, there are difficulties that you are facing as an individual. Situations where God is calling you to trust him. God is calling you to look to him as the shepherd who will provide and meet your needs. And he is one who is worthy of our trust in that way. Maybe this week you're going to come into a situation where you're going to go to work and the boss is going to place some expectations on you that seem insurmountable. The time is going to be too short. The resources are going to be insufficient. And the projects are going to be too overwhelming. The temptation is going to be to worry and to fret. But the truth that God calls you today to is to trust him in every circumstance. It might not be a situation at work as far as a project is concerned. It might be simply a relationship problem. Or it could be a health concern. Or it could be a physical concern in your household, something breaking down. In all these situations, God calls us to trust him. The Lord is not only described as a shepherd, as one who lovingly cares for his own, but the Lord is also described here as one who can meet our needs that we have. And David here in verse number 5 shifts the picture from a shepherd and a pasture to one of a banquet hall and a host. In verse 5, he says this: "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." David here is calling on, or is explaining, that the Lord provides for the needs of his own, and he does it in an abundant way. The picture here is that of one who prepares a table. We don't use that terminology today, but this would be one as a banquet would have a host, as a host would have a banquet. He would set up a table, and then on that table, he would present and put food before his guests. And David here is saying that the Lord as a host does that for him. The Lord provides for his physical needs. This is a contrast to what David was talking about in verses 1 and the beginning of verse number 2, where David would meet, where God would meet the spiritual needs of David through his word. Here David is talking about the physical needs that God would provide for him. And as David would go through his life, he would see how God would meet his needs in a physical way. He does it, though, in an interesting way, because here it says that he does it in the presence of my enemies. David recognized that difficult circumstances were no problem for the Lord. It didn't matter where he was or what kind of a situation he was in. God could provide for him. He uses here the example of enemies surrounding him. Enemies would make it difficult to get food and supplies. But David says, the Lord, he provides for me. He prepares this table before me, even in the midst of enemies, when it's difficult to get those needs met. And circumstances are not a difficult thing for the Lord. Not only that, though, but he says that he does it in a way that is overwhelming. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then he says this, you anoint my head with oil. This isn't something that we do today, but I want us to picture what it would be like to live back in the day and age where we traveled by foot in hot and dry and arid situations. And what would happen is as the guest would come into the house, a host would want to honor that guest. And as that guest had gone through the hot weather to travel to this place, the host would come out and he would give oil to his guest. This oil was not just a substance of nourishment and moisture, but it was also perfumed and had a pleasant aroma to it. And so as that guest would sit there and the host would give that oil to that guest, the guest would be refreshed. From that oil, as it moisturized his dry skin, and from that perfume scent that would be pleasant to his senses. And David here says that the Lord does this for him. The Lord anoints his head with oil. God gives us more than what we deserve. The Lord gave David more than what he deserved by nourishing him and refreshing him in times of distress. Then David uses this picture. He says, my cup overflows. His cup isn't just half full or three-fourths full. David said, the Lord is so good to me that my cup is overflowing, that my lot in life is filled to the brim. David here is looking at his life and examining it through the eyes of the Lord's provision for him. God has done amazing things in our lives. He has met our physical needs. And he provides us with more than we need in an abundant way. This is our God. And this is why David encourages us through this psalm to trust the Lord. Because he is a God who is not limited by circumstances or situations. He is a God who can meet every need that we have, whether it's a spiritual need, as we saw at the beginning of this psalm, or whether it's a spiritual need or refreshment in our spirit. God can meet all of those needs that we have, and he calls for you to go and trust him and to look to him to meet those needs. Finally, in verse number 6, David closes this psalm by saying this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David turns his focus here to specifically delineating the relationship that God has with him. He describes it this way, goodness and mercy. That word mercy there is translated elsewhere throughout the Bible, and specifically in the book of Psalms, as loving kindness. It's a word that describes the covenant love that God has for his people. The love that shows that he has committed himself to loving his own. And that covenant means he's not turning back on it. This love here is also described as good. Surely, this amazing, good kind of love is going to follow me all the days of my life. Now, as you read that passage there, that verse, perhaps you're picturing in your mind as you're walking through life, God's love and goodness is just kind of right behind you, following you, keeping you in line. But the idea is not that the love is just walking behind us. The idea that's trying to be communicated with this word is a pursuit. This covenant love that God has committed to showing to his people is pursuing his people. So David says, as I go through my life, I look behind me, and no matter how fast I'm going, God's love is continually pursuing me. It's overwhelming me. It's continuing to follow me and to pursue me. I love that description. Because often, we can get sidetracked in our lives from our relationship with God. We can be going through our life and the busyness of life, things that are not necessarily bad, distract us from our relationship with him. And what does God do? He continually pursues us. He continually seeks to draw us back to himself so that we might be in that right relationship with him. And David says that this pursuit is never going to end. No matter how long David lives, no matter what circumstances David may go through, God's love will continue to pursue him through all of these things. His loyal love will never end. David ends this psalm by expressing his desire to abide in the Lord's presence. He says this, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The house of the Lord refers to any place where God's presence was or where he was worshiped. So this could have been, this referred to the tabernacle in the wilderness or the temple during the times of the kings. This was the house of the Lord. And David says, I desire to be in that place at all times, in his presence, in that unending relationship. This close communion that David desires to have is ours also, because God's presence is continual in our lives. When Jesus left his disciples, or was talking to his disciples about leaving, he said, it's good for you that I go away, because if I go away, I will send the comfort of the Holy Spirit, who will be with you always and will indwell you. This God who is consistently pursuing us with his love continually abides with us, and his presence will never leave us. This is our God. This is the one who is calling you to trust him in your life. In those areas where you are worried or discouraged, or in those areas where you are unsure, God says, I'm your shepherd. I have committed to taking care of you. Trust me. He's calling upon all of us to do that. We don't have to worry about the circumstances of life, because the Lord is with us. We can trust him in all areas because he can provide what we need materially. He can provide what we need spiritually, and he can satisfy every longing of our heart. After I received that call about that job failure, my family and I made a decision that we were going to trust the Lord. We knew that the Lord had committed to meeting our needs, and we knew that he would do that. So after a month of uncertainty about what the Lord was going to do and how I was going to provide for the needs of my family, the Lord dropped a job into my lap that was better than the original job I had wanted. And the Lord used that job to meet the needs of our family for the next number of years. The Lord can meet your needs today. You must simply choose to trust him, no matter what difficulty or lack you are facing. And when you choose to trust him, you will find him to be there, supporting and helping, loving and meeting every need. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to you that you are our God. We're thankful that your love is unending and that your word satisfies. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in all of our hearts, that we would submit to you and trust you in all circumstances, so that through our lives, people would see the glory of your name and be drawn to you, because you are worthy to receive that from all people. In Jesus' name, amen.